Well, today we will be focusing on the first reading that Clive brought to us from Luke chapter 2. And so if you've got your Bibles and your outlines there, that'll be very helpful. Well, in the true story of Christmas, there's an old man who probably had a beard and was full of joy. Who was he? Well, he wasn't Santa Claus. Okay, wasn't Santa Claus. And nor was he this fellow, Ebenezer Scrooge, from Charles Dickens' writings. And neither was this character, the Grinch, who wasn't very happy about Christmas at all. No, in the historical Gospel of Luke, the man that is old and wore a beard and is full of joy is Simeon. Simeon. Now, we don't hear much about Simeon at Christmas time, more the pity. I can't think of a Christmas play or a Christmas drama which has the event of Simeon in the temple. But it is very much a part of the Christmas story. And this encounter between Simeon and Joseph and Mary and Jesus is something unique to the Gospel of Luke. You won't find it in John's Gospel, nor in Mark's Gospel, nor in Matthew's Gospel, only in Luke's Gospel. And Simeon, well, unlike Santa Claus, he wasn't into presents so much, but he was into praise and prophecy. And you'll notice that his words in Luke chapter 2 are full of praise to God and full of predictions about Jesus. And of course, one of the things about Simeon is that he was a man of hope. And hope is a critical thing, isn't it? Because if you don't have hope, there is hopelessness. The New Testament talks about faith, hope, and love. And hope is very, very important in the Christian life. But without hope, there is hopelessness. But Simeon is a man who is very old, and yet he is very full of Christian hope. And you might remember this definition of Christian hope from last year. Hope is a joyful expectation for the future based on true events in the past, which changes everything about my present. What a wonderful definition of hope. A joyful expectation for the future based on true events in the past, which changes everything about my present. Now, unlike last Sunday, when we focused on the shepherds and the town of Bethlehem, the story of Simeon takes place not in Bethlehem, but in the capital city of Jerusalem and in the great temple. And just to give you a sense of how magnificent and astonishing the physical context was, watch this short 1 minute video about the Temple of Jerusalem. What a magnificent building. It was actually one of the wonders of the ancient world in many respects. And by the time Jesus began his ministry, the temple was still being built. It was that big. It was very, very big, later to be destroyed in AD 70 by the Romans when the Jewish people rebelled against the Romans. But a very, very astonishing context. Very different from the stable in Bethlehem, right? And so this happens 40 days after the birth of Jesus, the events of Simeon. And remember that the opening chapters of Luke have four Christmas carols. Mary's song, Zechariah's song, the angel's song, and today we come across Simeon's song. But let's have a look at this story in verse 25. So if you've got your Bibles there, verse 25. Now there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and this man was righteous and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel. And the Holy Spirit was upon him. And it had been revealed to Simeon by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. What an exciting introduction. Notice that in verse 25, we're told that Simeon was waiting for the consolation of Israel. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel. And the word consolation means comfort. Way back in the Old Testament, in the book of Isaiah, the God of Israel had promised comfort or consolation to his people. Isaiah chapter 40, verse 1 says this, "Comfort, comfort my people, says your God. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem and cry to her that her warfare is ended, that her iniquity is pardoned, that she has received from the Lord's hand double for all her sins." And so here in the middle of Isaiah the prophet, we have, in the middle of the prophetic book of Isaiah, this wonderful message of comfort that God promised his people would come. And it was going to be of such consolation that sin will be dealt with. So the expression "double for all her sins" means that something is going to happen that is going to be sufficient to, more than sufficient, to deal with the sins of God's people. And so this was a prediction of comfort. And God had made this promise to his people, and Simeon knew all about it. But God had also given Simeon a promise. We're told that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And now what happens? Jesus comes into the temple courts. And Joseph and Mary are there with Jesus as part of the Jewish religious rituals involved in post-birth purification. And Simeon held Jesus in his arms. Can you imagine that? Holding God in your arms. It's a pretty special thing, holding a baby in your arms, isn't it? I remember when I held my grandson, Jeremiah, in my arms for the first time at St. George Hospital. Pretty special. But imagine holding God in your arms. That's pretty special, isn't it? And Simeon had been waiting for the arrival of the Son of God all his life. God had promised Simeon that he would not die until he had seen the Christ, until he had seen the King. And you can imagine Simeon each day going into the temple wondering, is this day going to be it? I'm getting pretty old now. Is this day going to be it? And then one day goes into another day, into another month, into another year, and still no Jesus. But now the Christ appears. The Saviour of the world appears to Simeon. No wonder Simeon sings this praise to God. Verse 29, he says, "Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace, according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, that you have prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people Israel." Notice verse 32, a light for revelation to the Gentiles. Just come with me in your Bibles back to Isaiah chapter 49. On page 724. Page 724, Isaiah 49. Let me show you something special. Page 724, Isaiah chapter 49, verse 6. Isaiah 49 verse 6. Let me read this prophecy. It is too light a thing that you should be my servant to raise up the tribes of Jacob and to bring back the preserved of Israel. I will make you as a light for the nations, that my salvation may reach to the end of the earth. This is a beautiful promise that God is giving his people about the servant of Israel. Now, in this part of the book of Isaiah, there's a lot said about the servant that God is raising up. You might remember Isaiah 53, for example, that we often read it at Good Friday services. Well, here in Isaiah 49, God is talking about the servant of the Lord who is going to be not just a help for his people, Israel, but is going to be a light for the nations, so that God's salvation may reach to the end of the earth. And now, Simeon is actually seeing this come true from Isaiah 49. And you might remember the promise that God had made to Abraham all the way back in Genesis chapter 12. God made this promise to Abraham. He said, "In you all the families of the earth shall be blessed." Through Abraham would come a saviour who would bring blessing to the world. And all those who would put their trust in the saviour would become part of God's family. And Simeon is now in the temple. He's an old man. He's been waiting all his life to see Jesus. And now the Christ child has arrived. And he rejoices because he knows that this child is not only a saviour for Israel, but he's going to be a saviour for the nations, for the Gentiles, for us, you see. Simeon praises God because the Christ child is a saviour for us Gentiles. And yet notice that Simeon also goes on in his prophecy to say this. Verse 33, his father and his mother marvelled at what was said about him. And Simeon blessed Mary and Joseph and Jesus and said to Mary his mother, "Behold, this child is appointed for the fall and rising of many in Israel and for a sign that is opposed." Have you ever fallen out of a boat? You ever fallen out of a boat? No? I've fallen out of a boat many times. You ever heard the expression boat rocker? Okay, don't rock the boat, right? I took Meryl sailing when I first started dating Meryl, calling Meryl, and I said to Meryl, "Come sailing with me." And she said, no, I'm too scared. And I said, "No, come with me, it'll be okay." And we went out and we capsized. And that put her off sailing for the rest of her life. But in the Parramatta River, I think it was, Meryl, wasn't it? Just off roads, it was. But we've all heard the expression boat rocker, haven't we? Don't rock the boat. We've also heard of the expression ruffled feathers. You ever heard of that expression, ruffled feathers? Well, Jesus did both. He rocked the boat and he ruffled people's feathers. And that's why Simeon says that this child is appointed for the fall and rising of many in Israel. Jesus is going to rock the boat. He's not going to be a meek Jesus, meek and mild. No, he's going to cause division. He's going to exalt the humble, and those who are proud he will bring down. Just like we learnt in Mary's song a couple of weeks ago. But notice verse 34 again. We're told that Not only will he be appointed for the fall and rising of many in Israel, but he would be opposed. Notice that he would be opposed. People are very happy to mention Jesus or to talk about Jesus as long as the lordship of Jesus is kept at a distance from them. People are happy for the mention of Jesus in many contexts, but when you start saying that Jesus is your Lord and demands your allegiance and we need to surrender our lives to him, then Jesus rocks the boat, doesn't he? He starts to ruffle feathers. Whenever we talk about the uniqueness of Jesus and the exclusive claims of Jesus, that's why we always have more visitors at church on Easter and Christmas than at any other time of the year. Why? Because people think at Easter and Christmas they're not going to hear about the demands of Jesus on their life. It's why most weddings in Australia and most funerals are no longer conducted by clergy. Did you know that? 75% of funerals are conducted by celebrants, if at all. In fact, one of the interesting trends here in the Sutherland Shire, I have been informed, is that many families are choosing for no funeral services whatsoever. They're now having cremation-only funerals, or cremation-only of the body. No funeral at all. And it's a trend I won't tell you my source, but a very reliable source told me how quiet it can be in the Warranora Crematorium chapels during the week. 30 years ago, when I became a minister, there were back-to-back funerals in the Warranora chapels every day, Monday to Friday. Right? Now, a lot easier to get a booking. People are choosing not to have funerals, which is very sad, because funeral services are an opportunity to hear the word of God and the hope of the gospel held out to people. But of course, many in our community don't want anything to do with Christian messages and at funerals, or Christian messages at weddings, or Christian messages at any time. Why? Because Jesus rocks the boat. Jesus humbles the proud and exalts the humble. But notice what else Simeon says in verse 35. He says to Mary, "And a sword will pierce through your own soul also." Now, these are chilling words, words that Mary did not expect to hear, I suspect, when she went into the temple that day. Here we have a painful prophecy about the death of Jesus. And you'll know the story of how Mary was one of the witnesses to the crucifixion of her son. So Mary would know firsthand the pain that her son would endure for us. And this prediction draws a straight line from the cradle to the cross. Because on the cross, Jesus, who was once a baby, would die as the saviour of the world. Born at Christmas in order to die at Easter. So this is a very, very significant song that Simeon sings. And this is, I'm astonished why we don't hear it more at Christmas time. Such an important part of the Christmas story, connecting Christmas to Easter. And yet today's passage has more for us. Have a look at verse 36. There was a prophetess, Anna, the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher. She was advanced in years, having lived with her husband 7 years from when she was a virgin, and then as a widow until she was 84. She did not depart from the temple. Imagine that. She did not depart from the temple, worshipping with fasting and prayer night and day. And coming up at that very hour, she began to give thanks to God and to speak of him to all who were waiting for the redemption of Jerusalem. So not only do we get an older man, but we also get an older lady who has been waiting for the salvation of God's people. And Anna is another person who is full of hope, full of joyful hope. And Christian hope, of course, is not that sort of hope-so kind of hope. Christian hope is certainty about a reality that changes everything. And so our definition of hope, again, a joyful expectation for the future based on true events in the past, which changes everything about my present. This is the sort of hope that Simeon and Anna had, because they knew that the Christ child would be a saviour for sinners, a saviour for us, Gentiles. But you know what? As I was reflecting on Simeon and Anna, I've also been impressed by just how faithful they were as followers of God, trusting in the promises, standing on the promises of God our Saviour. Right? It's not easy to keep trusting the promises of God as you get older sometimes, is it? As you get older, you can ask yourself the question, did I get it wrong? Have I been wrong all these years about being a Christian? Are my neighbours right? Have I been sort of misled along the way? Are the promises of God really trustworthy? Well, Simeon and Anna are enormous encouragement to us seniors. I'm a senior here. All of us who are getting older, Simeon and Anna stand as great models of standing on the promises of God, because that's what they banked their lives on. Simeon did not want to die until he saw the Christ child. Anna was looking for the one who was going to redeem Jerusalem. They were waiting for the Christ, banking on God's promises. And I just want to encourage you and I this morning to keep trusting the promises of God. The promises of God are not only good yesterday, they're good for today and good for tomorrow. The peace of God that passes all understanding is not found in the absence of problems, but in the presence of Jesus. I'll say that again. The peace of God that passes all understanding is not found in the absence of problems, but in the presence of Jesus. You can have lots and lots and lots and lots of problems and yet still be at peace, because you know where your true security lies. I read the words of a fellow Christian this week who said this: I want to be so anchored in Christ that chaos around me does not produce chaos within me. You like that? I want to be so anchored in Christ that the chaos around me does not produce chaos within me. That's what it means to be standing on the promises of God. just like Simeon and Anna did. The promises of God are rock solid ground, aren't they? On which we can live our lives. Have you ever got out of bed in the morning and fallen over? You ever had that experience? It could be low blood pressure, or you had a leg that's fallen asleep, or, you know. And if you haven't had that experience, a clergy friend of mine, collapsed in the shower not so long ago. Terrible facial scar. And many of you have had falls. But we can always rely on the solid ground of God's promises in Christ. Just like Simeon and Anna did. And when we do that, we might have falls of other sorts, but we will not fall in our relationship with God, because he is the rock and refuge for all who put their trust in him. Let's pray together. Dear God and Heavenly Father, we thank you for the wonderful examples of Simeon and Anna, of faithful reliance on your word. Thank you that you kept your promises to them. And we thank you that you keep your promises to us. We thank you for the Saviour Jesus, and we pray that we might have your grace to follow him as our Lord each day. Heavenly Father, we pray for those in our family and friends that just don't know Jesus, that oppose Jesus, either passively or actively. We pray that you'll so soften their hearts, help them to see their need for the Saviour while there is yet time, and to put their hope in him. For we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.